how do you do it? Like, you pray first and you let them go? Or?
Okay. So why don't I read a verse? This is loud. Why don't I read a verse and then they can, and we'll pray and then they can go. I'm going to read a verse from John 6. If you guys have your Bibles or your iPhones, it's John 6, verse 16 and 17. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now, it was dark. Just focus on this part. By now, it was dark. And Jesus had not yet joined them. Okay? By now, it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We thank you, because the same power that worked miracles, the same power that performed so many amazing things, it's the same power that's here today. The same power that can move mountains, the same power that can open the blind eyes, Lord, the same power that can raise the dead, Lord, the same power that can communicate your heart to us today, Lord. And I pray that this same power would not just be on the speaker, but would be on everyone in this room, Lord, as we're listening and as we speak and as we're thinking, as we're using our hearts and brains, Lord, to think and to receive your word to us. I pray for that same power, Lord, to come and shower this place, that we would leave this place completely changed, every single one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys may be dismissed. Oh, how lucky you are. Earlier in this chapter, something really cool happens. Jesus is by the sea, and he sees a great, great crowd coming to him, right? And he looks around and he says, where can we find food to feed all these people? You know, they're not coming here to eat, Jesus. They're coming to see you. They're coming to learn from you. They're coming to receive healing for their sickness. But Jesus, being the kind person he is, he doesn't want these people to go away hungry. So he says that, testing his disciples. He says that, testing what they're going to say, knowing exactly what he's going to do. And then one of the disciples Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread, just bread, okay, for each of them to have a bite. When I read that and a few days ago, I felt like this is me. In my wildest imagination, the most strength I could ever have, the half year wages, I could have to just give someone a bite. Is a bite enough for a person to go on for a whole day, to go on for a day or two? But in my wildest imagination, I just want to give you guys a bite. But Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do today and yesterday and tomorrow. He knows exactly that he's not here to give you a bite. He's here to give you a whole meal, and not just bread. He's going to give you a full meal. A full meal that's full of everything you'll need for your body, everything you'll need to think, everything you will need to keep going with strength. That meal is through one prayer of Jesus. And that meal could be had today if we let him use whatever small things we have. We settle saying, I will just take this or I'll just take that. But Jesus does not settle. God does not settle. He's not in the business of settling here today. He wants to give you exactly what's on his heart to give you. When the blind man asked and screamed, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me and give me a walking stick, right? That's what he said. No, he said, give me my sight back. When they screamed, Jesus, we are diseased, there is leprosy everywhere, we cannot go into our homes or our cities, we cannot get close to people, can you please just talk to the priest, have him just like, we can come home, just look at our family. No, they want healing. They want the whole thing. And today, I pray that we would take the whole thing today. I pray that whatever it is that we have, whatever it is that we desire, we would take it all and not just settle for a bite. Philip is just like you and me. Not this Philip. But Philip is just like you and me. He looks at the limited things we have. He has, or he doesn't even have it at that time, but he could ever have. He looks at that and settles with what that can do. We look at our small resources and say, okay, this is it. I can't do anything else. But we're not talking about the power of our resources today. We are talking about the power that we were just singing about. The power, not this, the other one. The power that raised Jesus from the grave. The power that made the blind see. The same power that worked back then can work today. Do you guys like that? Yeah, because we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about something completely different. I just wanted to get you going a little bit because what's going to come after, nothing but bad news. Just kidding. I am not here today to give you the gospel of prosperity. I'm not here to tell you that everything will be okay, even though it's half of the truth. Half of the truth is a lie. And I'm not here to lie to you. I'm here to tell you that everything will be okay, even if it doesn't look okay. And many times, many, many, many times, it's not going to look okay. Many times, we're going to have to get in that boat. See, today I'm talking to you about there is a period of time where I personally struggle with. I don't know if you struggle with it or not, but there is a period of time where I had just experienced an amazing testimony. And I have to leave it waiting for another one to happen. And I know it's going to happen. But they didn't know at this time. You and I know that Jesus is going to come on the fourth watch, right? That we know the story. Jesus fed the thousands of people, and then he made his disciples get in the boat, and the boat went in the lake, and the storm hit, and he came in the fourth watch of the night, and he saved them, right? We know that, but they didn't. Okay? And now, we could go through similar situations where we had just left a wonderful, amazing testimony, and now we're going through that night again. Now we're going through the night, and we're going through the storms, not knowing what's going to happen next, and that's okay. But here is my question. If I am sitting there in that boat, I would think, why did I ever get in that boat? It was really nice. It was really nice being on that shore. It was really nice when I had 20,000 people coming to watch me. It was really nice when I had 20,000 people come praising the name of Jesus, getting healed, getting fed. Isn't that amazing? Would any of us say no to that? Absolutely not. It's all amazing. It's all good work. So why would we ever, ever think about leaving it? And if we don't have it, and if we've never had it, why isn't God giving it to us? Do we ever ask these questions? I know I do. And it's okay to say you do. It's okay to be real with God. It's okay to be real in this church. He says that all the time. Pastor Albert says that all the time. It's okay to be real. It's okay to say what's on your heart. I'm here to tell you that the best time of my life came during that time. The person I am today is owed to that time, where I absolutely had no idea what was going on, where I had no idea why I left my stable job that paid me every 2 weeks and went and started my own business, to have nothing left, to truly have no money to even feed my little kids, to have nothing to lean back on, no saving, everything is completely gone. And I am here standing thinking, why did I ever get on that boat? It was much better on the shore. It was much better when it was safe. It was much better when I knew exactly how much I'm getting every 2 weeks, and I know what's coming in, what's going out, and I just wanted to live that way. But I got on the boat, just like the rest of you got on some kind of boat, just like the disciples got on the boat, not knowing what's going to happen. When the angel of God came to speak to Gideon, he said, "Hey, how's it going, mighty man of God? How are you?" The first thing Gideon says, "If God is for us, Why is all of this happening to us? Where are the testimonies that we heard about? Where is the God, the powerful God? Where is that power that raised Jesus from the grave? He cannot see it. He could not see it at that time. Just like you and me cannot see it. Just like you and me are blinded by the darkness. I made sure to read you that sentence a couple of times. By now it was dark, and Jesus was not there. By now it was dark, and God was not there. By now the job is gone, and you feel like Jesus is not there. By now the family, the health, whatever it is gone, and you feel like Jesus is not there. Have you ever been there? It's a good feeling, huh? I can tell you guys want me to go to the first part of the sermon, right? Jesus is not in the business of bites. He's going to give you the full meal, right? That's better, right? So he said, amen. Well, just hang with me. Maybe you'll like that part of it. Why did I ever get in that boat? Why did I ever start that ministry? Why did I ever... Daddy was like, Why did I ever take that job? Why did I ever? Questions that we ask all the time. And it's okay to answer that. But let me answer you from the Word of God. Let me answer you because what you thought was safety, maybe you have it all along. You just had a different view of it. Maybe that safe place that you were looking for is not what you thought it was. Maybe that safe place you thought it was the shore and the sand and the trees and the homes, maybe that's not the real safety. Because Jesus spoke about the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built his house on the rock. What did he mean about the sand? What did he mean about the rock? The sand is any place or anything in this world you can put your hope on and you feel like this is my safety. And the rock is Jesus himself. Maybe that shore was not my safe place, but my true safe place is God himself. Maybe I haven't read Psalm 91. Maybe I haven't learned, just like we were singing a few minutes ago, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Maybe that water doesn't really matter. Maybe that water doesn't really matter as long as I have Jesus who am building my house and my life on, because he is my rock and my salvation. Maybe my true place is singing with David, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who hides in the shadow of the Almighty. That's my true place. That's my true hiding, and that's my true safety right there. My true safety isn't to be on solid land. My true safety isn't to be in a job that pays me every week or 2 weeks. My true safety place isn't to have the health and the relationships that will secure me. My true place is my Jesus himself. That's my true place. That's the true safe place where I can feel like I am not going to be moved. I am not going anywhere. I am not shaking. I don't care if it's earthquake, I don't care if it's water, I don't care if it's a volcano. What can separate us from the love or protection of God? Nothing can separate us from that. No thief can come break into that house. No earthquake can take over that house. Nothing can affect that true safe place. So if I am in that boat thinking, why did I ever get in that boat? It was much safer on the shore, I need to think again. Because my true safe place isn't the land or the boat. My true safe place is to be with God. Maybe I'm thinking to myself, I had people around me. I'm so lonely right now. I miss people. I love having people around me. I love having my ministry being, you know, people filling the place, people listening to me, miracles happening and all of that. Maybe that was my safe place. Maybe that was the safety I am missing right now, that I'm in the boat, in the middle of the lake, in the storm, by myself. Let me read you what Jesus told the crowd when he came back. This is not me. This is Jesus. filling the crowd, talking to the crowd. He answers them saying, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the things I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures for eternal life. And then they asked him again. What must we do for that works? For the works that God requires. Jesus said, the work of God is to believe in the one He sent. And then they said, Moses showed us give us a sign, and because Moses showed us signs before he was giving us food. See, Jesus keeps talking to them about something much higher than the food and the physical things, and they keep going back to the food and the physical things. If you put your trust in people today, if you think that having so many people around you is your source of security, is your source of safety, I'm sorry to tell you, they're only after what they want. They're not after what you want. They're after what they want. And don't be offended, because it happened to Jesus himself. If they did that to Jesus, they're asking Jesus for a sign. They're asking Jesus for a miracle. He just gave you food out of nothing. He just healed your sick. He just performed all these amazing miracles. And a day after, you're still asking him for a sign so he can prove himself to you, to tell you who he is? My friends, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But don't really focus, and don't put your trust or safety on how many people praise you, how many people are around you in the time of need even. At that time of need, try to look around and find Jesus. And if you're in that moment thinking, I miss all these people that were around me, I'm not saying that they're all like that. I'm just saying that we have someone who sticks more than a brother, who is a friend who loves no matter what, who is not looking for anything to get out of us. He's just looking to give us. Why did I get in that boat where I had a king? In that incident, after Jesus fed them, they wanted to make him a king. They wanted to say, that's it, he is the king. I need a king. It gives me safety. It gives me source of security when I know that there's someone who's taking care of me. Let me ask you a question. And Jesus, of course, refused that and left. Let me ask you a question. What happened to the Egyptian army when they were in the middle of the sea with Pharaoh? What happened to them? They drowned. Why, they didn't have a king at the time? They did. They had actually the strongest king at the time. They had Pharaoh. But what happened to them? He couldn't help them. If you're ever in that place and you feel like no one is here to take care of me, no. God, our God, is not the king of the land. He's the king of the land. He's the king of the sea. He is the king over all. No matter where we are, no matter where we go, He is King. And whether we're in the hostel, whether we're at the gym lifting weights, whether we are running, whether we're staying, whether we're rich, we're poor, He is King over all. It does not matter where we are. So that whole thought of there is no higher power to be with me in the middle of that storm, there is no higher power to be with me in the middle of this sea, in the middle of that boat that I wish I never got into, there is a higher power. There is a higher power. The same God, again, I love this song, the same God who was there on the cross, the same God who was there at your birth, is the same God is with you during that storm, during that night, during that dark time. So in every way you look, and you wish, why did I get in that boat? I had it all figured out before. Think of this. You had it figured out, but probably wrong. And if you think about it this way, if you think about the same God who was with you on the shore, is the same God who's with you during this dark time, it will give you all the peace that will surpass all of our understanding. Because you can have the same situation. You give it to a believer and a non-believer. The believer will rest in peace. Will sleep in peace, will live in peace. Because he knows he's holding that situation. And the same thing to someone else. And they'll start freaking out. Because they don't know. Poor people don't know. And it's our job to let them know. God said, get in that boat. Jesus said, get in that boat. And when he says that, I think as his children, he doesn't force our hands. But the disciples were at a place at this time where they were obedient enough to get on that boat. They got on the boat and they started their journey. Journey for another victory. Journey, the victory might not seem at sight at the time. It might take a few hours. It might take a few weeks. It might take a few years. It might take a while, but the victory is coming. And this is what I would like us to focus on today. Focus on the victory that is to come. And while that time is, while we're waiting, some stuff might happen or could happen through that time. God is not just giving us that time. God didn't just tell them to get in that boat, get in the darkness, just because he felt like it. Something amazing is about to happen. Something amazing about to happen in them and to the whole world is about to happen. And that's where you and I need to be in prayer and need to be patient to see what God is going to do during that time. This time is not time for we're wasting and we're just, okay, I'm just going to wait. Come on, hurry up. No, it is the time that will build us up as believers. God moved Abraham out of his parents' house because he had a bigger and higher calling for Abraham. God used Moses. He asked Moses to leave Egypt because he wanted to prepare him for something amazing. While before he allowed Joseph to go into Egypt. It's not about the place we're going to. It's about where God wants us at that time. God is cooking something amazing. We just need to trust that he is doing that. Amen? My calling is to follow God. That's my number one calling, is to follow God. You know, a lot of times we keep worrying about what is my gifting? What is my God's will for my life? And it's good to understand these things. It's good. It's actually important to understand your gifting. It's a must to understand your gifting, to understand. But my first call is to follow God. During the early church, when the early church was persecuted, we hear in Acts chapter 8, we hear about the killing of one of the disciples, Stephen, and Paul, who was at the time, Saul, started persecuting the church, and the Romans and the Pharisees started persecuting the church, and then it says that the disciples were scattered everywhere, and one of them ended up in Samaria. Okay, his name is Philip, again. Not because he's my brother, but, you know, Samaria. So he ended up being there, and God used him to cause a huge revival in that place. A huge revival that reconciled two nations together. The Israelites didn't really deal with the Samaritans, but a huge revival that didn't just bring the love of Jesus into their hearts, the gospel and the message of Jesus, but it reconciled the Jews and the Samaritans together at that time. It was a great movement. And all of a sudden, God tells Philip, leave all of that, leave Peter, leave John, and I want you to go to this wilderness or to this road in the middle of the wilderness. You will meet one man and just share the gospel with him. Lord, you want me to leave a whole city, a whole nation, after all these years of struggling with them, and now we're finally reaching somewhere. Now they're accepting you. They're hungry for you. They want you. And you want me to leave that and just go preach to one man? Just one? Uno? And he goes, yes, I want you to go. Philip obeyed and went right away. And we know the rest of the story. He was speaking to the Ethiopian minister. The man believed in God, the man got baptized, and a lot of people say that this man was the first person to bring the gospel to Africa. My first call is to obey God. He was being persecuted at the time. He was having a hard time. Christians were being killed at the time. Philip saw his friend and saw many other Christians going to jail, being killed, persecuted, and during that hard, tough time, his call is to follow God. And he did follow God, and did anything happen to him? Yeah, a lot of things happened to him. He was able to cause a revival in the whole nation. During your tough time, during that dark time that we go through, listen carefully to God's call. Because it will be so loud at that time. A lot of times we don't hear it when things are good, because things are bad. But during that time, God's voice is so loud. Listen to it. People take notice when you're going through your night time or your dark time. People take notice of what you're doing and what you're saying. In that same chapter, chapter 7, Stephen was being killed. And then later, in Acts 22, we see Paul giving his testimony. And part of his testimony was, I was there when Stephen was being killed. Not just that, I was holding the clothes of the people that